I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Rick Doughton, who is VP and Health Plan CISO at Centene Corporation. We're here at HealthSec, a conference in Boston where Rick is speaking about improving preparedness and response to ransomware incidents. Welcome, Rick.
Yes, thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Rick, I know the healthcare community would be familiar with Centene, but just for those listeners who might not be as familiar, just describe a little bit about what Centene is and then your role there. And I understand that you've helped many other companies that deal with your company who then unfortunately suffer incidents, and how you help them and what some of the major tips are for these companies.
Yeah, so Centene Corporation is a large public healthcare company, meaning we are a payer for Medicaid, Medicare, and marketplace plans across the United States. And my role is I'm embedded in the health plan in North Carolina, but help and support all of the organization from the global CISO to the CTO, CIO, in any kind of risk-based things as needed, kind of like an internal consultant or like a senior fellow across the corporation.
So now I understand that you've been involved in incidents that have occurred, maybe from your customers. I don't know if it's at the company itself. What have you learned from some of these ransomware incidents in terms of maintaining control over critical systems, minimizing the impact on healthcare operations, and anything else that are, you know, really vital to keeping these companies running?
Well, we're fortunate enough to be a large, well-funded, well-resourced organization. And as you said, we help a lot of providers that we may be supporting or paying when they have incidents, or other platforms that our providers may be using. And even just locally in Charlotte, we have a very diverse cybersecurity community of companies in different industries and different sizes and maturity. And so we help each other a lot. So what I'll be talking about is our, you know, my and different teams within my company and within my peer group of helping those that are less mature than we are in doing that. The number one thing is preparedness, because it talked about doing tabletop exercises to help define, like, what are the critical systems? Do I know what they are? Do I know what my SLA needs to get back up? You know, what are certain things I have as capabilities to be able to recover from them and set them back up, what relationships I have in cybersecurity insurance and incident response teams and ransomware negotiators and you know, an external counsel to be able to call on, and do I have like SLAs with them to be able to respond quickly? What is my communication plan with my regulator, my upstream affiliate, for my patients and everybody else? Those are all like some of the fundamental things. You know, the technical part is the technical part, but you know, knowing, having this plan, like they always said, is like a goal without a plan is a dream, and a plan without a goal is a nightmare.
So let's dig into this a little bit. Now, based on your experience with these incidents, what are some of the top things that sort of emerge that companies just aren't ready to deal with? You mentioned, you know, earlier, you know, cyber insurance is having an incident response team at the ready, maybe even having a ransomware negotiator ready.
Yep.
But, you know, tell us a little bit about why these things are so important.
Right, because in healthcare, you know, there is a great divide between the large, well-funded payers and the million providers and hospital systems and small doctors' offices. And so they are less able to, you know, have the monitoring and the tools and the people in place because, honestly, you know, the healthcare in the U.S. is a very low-margin business. They just don't have the money. It's not that they don't know what they need to do. It's not that they wouldn't like to have technologies and big, you know, all these different things. It's just that they just don't have the ability to do it from a business standpoint. And that's fine. So that's where preparedness is going to help you in reducing these costs when or if it happens. And having these relationships in place will help you have that plan. And, you know, but some of the little nuances is little fundamental things like, okay, do I have, you know, backups that are completely separate so that when someone breaks in, they can't corrupt them so I could recover from them? Do I know how I would get Bitcoin to make the payment if the business chooses to make a payment? And do I know who is going to do the communication to the outside? You know, how I'm going to, you know, what process I have to do this communication plan to all the people that I had said before. So these are all things that are really critical to kind of exercise and practice and say, okay, if this happens, who's going to make the decision? What's the threshold? Who are we going to notify? How are we going to do this? How are we going to get down to it to be able to actually recover?
So now, what about recovery tips? So what should entities be prepared for in advance when it comes to recovery that they might not be thinking about?
Well, certainly, you know, understanding what their most critical business systems are. You know, those that if they are down, it has a huge impact to your business. And then you can prepare to be able to say, all right, if something happens to this, I have a hot site, or I have some mirroring, or I have something to recover it very quickly, knowing that it's down. The second thing is accepting the fact that you're going to be under crippled conditions. You may not have access to email. You may not have access to chat. You may not have anything. So you're going to need an out-of-band communication system, and also being able to know if certain access controls are unavailable. If someone takes out your primary domain controller and takes out your Active Directory, for instance, and you can't log into these servers, you know, then what am I going to do instead? So these are all things that having a plan for what to do if this happens will aid in the response and in the reducing time in recovery.
And you had also mentioned during the session about how the attackers are kind of watching what you're doing, too, so you got to be careful how you communicate, because they might be one step ahead of you knowing what you're planning to do. How do you avoid that?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because they will now control your environment. And so, therefore, they can be reading your emails, they can be watching your chats, they could be, you know, part of the text chain or the chat chain if they you know, and get inject themselves into it. So you need to understand that it is possible that everything that you're doing on the network is being observed and they can respond to. So having a completely out-of-band, off-network way to communicate and make decisions and be able to get data to each other is an important aspect. And depending on the circumstance, it may not be the case, but we have to consider that the case, because it will certainly extend the recovery time if you keep making plans and all of a sudden they keep thwarting them because they predict they know what you're doing before you get to it.
Now, you had also brought up an interesting anecdote about backups and how the backup key of a customer had been encrypted. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's important to realize that you don't expect your network and any of your data to be accessible if you need it to do the recovery. So this is your incident response plan, your call tree, all the things that you would need if you say, oh, great, we have it up here on the SharePoint, and it's wiped out. So you don't know who to call. You don't know what the roadmap is. The story that I said, and this has happened a few times in my community, peers of mine that have said that, you know, they had immutable backups that were separate, you know, that they could recover, but the key was on a network, and that key got encrypted. So the incident response team that they had brought in was savvy enough, knowing that, to say, hey, in this negotiation with the adversary, all right, prove to me that the key you have is going to decrypt it. I'm going to give you a sample of data, and you give them a sample data that includes that backup encryption key, their backup key, and they decrypt it back, and they say, yes, thank you very much, and then they could get their backups up and running. So again, this is kind of one of those stories that everybody in my industry kind of talks about, because they all know someone who's had to do that.
Do the adversaries know this now? Or, you know, are they,
maybe.
What are they doing?
Maybe. They may or may not. But if you kind of say, you know, their goal is to get paid. And if you say, I will pay you as long as I can validate that this key is going to work, let me give you a sample of data to show you that. They're going to be more inclined to say yes than think about, okay, well, am I giving them something that's going to help them recover? And they may. The more mature ones may. But you also may be dealing with different groups. You know, you have the access broker who gets the foothold, and then there could be some ransomware organization that does the actual ransomware. You have somebody else who is managing the collection of the money and the laundering of it. And so it could be different teams, and they're like, okay, I'm to the job. It's like, you just tell me this is good, and I'll do these things. You know, so there could be a lack of communication on their side as well. But yes, that is possible. that they may, a savvy one will say, all right, I'm going to look and see what you give me, and I'm not going to give it back to you if I see some kind of, you know, big token as part of it.
Any other tips that we haven't mentioned, you haven't mentioned, or any lessons that are key that you would just like the healthcare industry to know, that, you know, you keep stumbling upon incidents where these
right.
things happen and you kind of wonder, well, how come they didn't know this?
Yeah, I think go back to communication. Communication is critical into how well people are going to accept this incident. We understand that you're a victim, but you know, if you're trying to not share information to people who can help you, that is a big problem. And if you get, you know, some third party legal who's like saying, don't say anything to everybody, everything is under privilege, then we can't help you. The regulators are going to get upset. They're going to really scrutinize you afterwards, you know, for not being as transparent. Is understand who you can share information is that can benefit from you and who you shouldn't, you know, that could harm you. Or, you know, because years ago, particularly in other industries, not as much in healthcare, they're afraid to like notify regulators because then they're going to like then do an audit and scrutinize them for, well, how did it get here? And you didn't do duty of care and you're going to get class action lawsuits. And that's what the lawyers are worried about. But there's a balance in like, okay, yes, these are my upstream affiliates who can help me. I need to share information because they're giving me data on some threat intel or connections to other people who can help or insight into ways to do things. And I need to share with them to let them do that, or, you know, other organizations. So that communication aspect is understanding the balance of sharing enough to let them help you, not sharing too much to be harmful, but definitely don't lock everything down.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I've been speaking to Rick Doten. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.